Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And the throw takes them into the base pass, so be it. There was a play in College World Series. I don't know if you, the playoffs, with Oregon.
Yep.
And I thought that the
against
throw.
Utah Valley.
I thought the throw took the runner. I mean, took the catcher right into the runner's path, and I did not think that the runner should have been ejected. It was a huge play.
And the throw was high. The catcher didn't even catch the ball. He's blocking the plate without the ball. The runner slows down to avoid a crazy play, and upon review, the runner gets ejected.
It was ridiculous.
Not only is he out, but the runner got ejected.
I thought it was an awful call.
Now, the obstruction rule is different in college than in the bigs.
Well, at every level, and just to clear you, in every level, basically, except professional baseball, you weren't allowed to blast the catcher. Okay, high school, college, you weren't allowed to do that for years. So that was in place well before the Buster Posey thing.
Yeah, yeah. 888-957-9570. Wilmer Flores sent from first on a 2-out double by Chapman in the third inning. Giants were up 2-0 at that point. They lose this game 3-2. That one extra run might have won the Giants this baseball game. So it turned out to be a pretty darn big play. Should they have sent Flores? It was Adames on deck who's hitting 200 this year. What do you think? You can let us know. 888-957-9570. Chris is in San Jose.
What's up, Chris?
And wants to weigh in. What's up, Chris?
What's happening, gentlemen? Long time no talk. Yeah, I mean, Shaft, you kind of, I wanted to touch on that Flores thing and then kind of touch on a couple other things if you guys will allow me.
I miss hearing from you, buddy.
Yeah, no, well, hey, I blew out my Achilles, dude.
Oh,
I ruptured my Achilles, so I haven't been commuting into work for the last couple of months. So we're on the upward trend. We're good. We're good, baby.
I'll say a prayer for you, bud.
We're going to be back. You know what? I'll probably heal my Achilles by the time the Giants have a 30 home run hitter or a back-to-back starting left fielder. So, you know, we'll be all right.
But
you know what, Shasky? You laid out every single reason why you should have sent a Flores in that situation, and then you just kind of pulled up a little bit lame because, like you said, fans, you know, we quarrel with this. We're like, you know, should he have sent him? Should he have not have sent him? As a former varsity baseball player, you know, I was aggressive too. I like sending guys. You don't want to make the first or second out at, you know, third or home. But in that situation, like you said, with our offense struggling, you know, Adames on deck, I don't hate that move. I don't hate that move early in the game, 2-0. You know, we're sitting here, oh, well, if we got that run in, we could have got, you know, there's no guarantee Adames is going to get that run in. So I am not mad at that situation at all. For me, it's kind of a moot point. You know, it's a talking point. We're on the radio, slow day, whatever. But a 2-0 game, you blow it in the ninth. I'm not mad at Williams sending that guy home. Now, Giants baseball in totality, I'm a little bit, you know, I had some trepidation, and I've shared this with you, Shafty. The grass isn't always greener. And I know Buster, you know, super smart baseball player, Hall of Famer in all of our eyes, World Series champion. He doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, he has no experience in this role whatsoever. You know, a lot of the guys that we're excited for in the minors are all farhand guys. You know, this Adames signing is looking like a bust. if Farhan signed Verlander, we would have been pissed about that. So I'm just, you know, I didn't like the Luis. I didn't like sending Luis Matos down and bringing, you know, when they activated Girard. Like, why is Christian Kos on this team? I just, there's some things that I'm looking at in terms of, you know, Buster. And we don't have time to touch on Melvin's managerial stuff that just drives me crazy sometimes. But I don't know. I'm not saying bring up Bryce right away, right? Even though I agree with you, Shasky. Anybody's better than Wade at this point. You know, give him some more seasoning, whatever, defensive. If they want to work on a few more things with him, that's fine. But I'd like to see him get a full month at the end of this year, right?
Totally fair.
I know it's kind of a middling year. We're not expecting to win the World Series, but hey, you get in the dance and you always got a chance. So I just don't want to like keep going, you know, month by month. All right, we're not getting production here. We're loyal to Mike Yastrzemski because he's hit 230 for half a decade with pretty good defense. Like, no! The guy's 35 years old. What are we doing? Let's move off of these guys and, I don't know, let's try to compete, but we need a little something else infused into the team. And lastly, like you said about the situational hitting, some of these guys drive me up a wall. Ramos, 2-run homer. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Ramos this year. You look at the box score, he's had a good game, but if you watch the game, there's one or two ABs where he's not advancing a runner. Mm. He's not getting the runner in from third. And it's constant. Even with our best, you know, output offensively, Ramos, these guys drive me crazy. Yeah. I can keep rambling, guys.
No, I love
it. Let's have a wonderful one.
You too.
Yeah, hey, let's have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Health to the recovery, my friend.
Thanks,
and, you know,
Chris.
He brought up Bob Melvin, and
really quick, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live with a free Odyssey app coming to you live from the Laughing Monk studio.
Just before we, you know, move on, the hottest hitter in the Bay Area is Sam Lubman. This guy came in the middle of him talking about his ruptured Achilles and hit him with the injury report sounder. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, that was literally a grand slam.
He told me to give him a water drop.
Dude, it was great. He brings up Bob Melvin. And look, this is what everyone says. I really like Bob Melvin because he's a nice guy, right? And we are always more generous with a nice guy. Like, being nice gets you a lot. It does. It really does. Like, if you're a jerk, the second you screw up, people are looking to, like, get him out of here. You know what I mean? Because like, I get it. Like, I think that the way that Gabe went about things, Gabe Kapler, that is, boy, the second he showed any scuffling as a manager, he would be picked apart by the media, by the scrum, I think by his players, because he was always super tense, right? I think with Bob, he's always so nice and everybody likes him. We give a pass. I'm gonna call it like I see it. I like Bob. I think with the right group of fired up dudes, he could be a really, really, really good manager to complement those things. I actually think he's had a good year this year. Like I do. All things considered, I think Bob's been really good. But I went in the break and I'm listening to some of the press conference stuff where he's sitting there at the podium and the boss, you know, is playing clip after clip and every question. That's how he's starting off. And I'm not trying to like slice and dice everything he says. But when you have a bunch of flatliners like I've been talking about, Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee, Ramos, Bailey, Lamont Wade, Yaz, these guys are all they give you nothing. I think I need a manager with this group of guys. I think I need a manager. I need a Sparky Anderson. I might need a Lou Piniella type. I need a Billy Martin type. I need somebody in the dugout with a little bit of energy to just lose their minds. If none of the players are going to do it, I think it needs to come from the manager. And I'm not trying to say fake stuff, but sometimes your team can draw energy from your coach. Think Ime Udoka for the Houston Rockets. When I watch the Houston Rockets, I go, that is exactly how Ime Udoka coaches. Mm. Where they are like this. Am I wrong? Tom Thibodeau just got fired, okay? When you watch a Tom Thibodeau team, is it not a specific imprint on what he wants it to be?
Yeah, I mean, generally the starters play every single minute with Tibbs, but they're a grimy kind of team.
Absolutely, and I do think that when I look at just like baseball in general, there used to be the old school managers, there was a variety of ways to do it. And what Bochy did and his thing of being kind of mellow and picking and choosing your spots, like that worked for that group of guys. I think for this group of guys, I'm watching, and look, I like Bob. I actually think he's had a good year. I need somebody to give me some energy, and I don't think he's got it in him.
Is that what happened in Detroit? What was it, game two in Detroit when he came out and got ejected from the game?
Yeah, but
I mean, is it as simple as...
Did it feel like it fired up the guys?
No. But, I mean, you want a guy to come out and get angry. I mean, is it getting angry at an ump? Is it... lightning to someone in the clubhouse?
We don't know that hasn't happened. You know, maybe it is lightning to somebody. I don't know what the other thing is. Flip the spread. Do something.
When it comes from someone like Melvin, who, as you laid out, is generally like even keel and lower energy and not in people's face all the time, it means more that way, right? Like, it means more coming from someone like that. When Steve Kerr blows up at dudes on the Warriors, it means more. When Draymond blows up, this is Draymond.
Yeah.
When Steve Kerr blows up, when Bob Melvin blows up, that means more than somebody else. So, like, if that were to happen, and who knows if it hasn't happened or has behind closed doors, we haven't seen it publicly in that way. If it does happen, that does seem like something that would be pretty darn meaningful, because it rarely happens from someone like Bob.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm just looking at the team that got rid of Bob Melvin, which is the Padres, and clearly
there was a disconnect there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I watched the way they play ball, and they got a lot of fiery dudes. And for whatever reason, there wasn't a good synergy there. You know, I see a guy like Aaron Boone, who I really like. I think Aaron Boone is overly criticized. I actually think he's a really good manager. I think they've got a lot of flaws, the Yankees. And I think he's actually overachieved with that. I think we've dramatically overrated that roster. But in general, he is intense. And he has no problem screaming at an umpire, screaming at a player, screaming at the media. I think we need a guy more like that. I really do. If he ever became available, that's the guy I'd be going after.
Wow. Yeah. You don't need your manager to be that dude, but if you don't have that dude on your roster, then it falls on the manager.
Exactly. I mean, like, and again, I understand that you're not going to have as many of these, you know, manager umpire situations as you've had in the past. But there is something to be said where, like, your team will take on the identity of your manager. They will. Like, I see it all the time. And I look at this team right now, and I'm listening to some of these answers, and I'm like, I don't know if Bob's got it in him to give them the energy and spark that they need right now. Well, I think everybody likes him. I think everybody's calm. And, we're doing really well this year, whatever. I need to see something.
We got 2 minutes left here in this segment, so I don't want to play any of it now because I want to give us a runway to react to it, but we do have a bunch of Bob Melvin from last night, so we will play it when we come back next segment. But, I mean, I feel a similar way. I don't know if this is, like, frustration for Bob Melvin specifically. I just need somebody on that team to show some damn pride.
Do we call up Draymond Green and, like, hey, Dre,
give him a motivational speech?
Exactly. Look, as much as Draymond drives me nuts, there is an element of, like, you better stay locked in, right?
Yeah.
There's an accountability. And
I mean, how many times, not just Steve Kerr, but does everybody involved in the Warriors organization say Draymond Green is the heartbeat of the team?
100%.
You could have all of the talent in 100%. The world. It may be even more important at times when you have all the talent in the world. And you have Steph, and you have Clay, and you have KD, and you have Iguodala. You know, it's pretty darn easy to just coast at times.
Yes.
It takes Draymond to keep everybody motivated and in line and in check and working hard. Sometimes you need somebody like that, even when you have a great team.
No doubt. And, like, I look at, like, Dave Roberts. He can be mellow Dave when you have a ton of literal Hall of Famers who do their job every single day. Right? You could just let him do their thing.
Ohtani and Betts and Freeman.
Right? But he's also been great for a decade, and he's evolved as their team has evolved.
They've always won games.
Yeah, and so, anyway, the point that I'm going at is that I do believe that there's, and I'm not trying to blame him. It's not Bob Melvin's fault Adames isn't hitting right now. It's not Bob Melvin's fault that Chapman was scuffling or that Yaz is in a 3-for-42 or 43 slump right now.
He's also the manager of the team, though.
Exactly. And I do believe that the team will take some of their cues from your head guy. When Gabe Kapler coached this team, he was on that front step like this. And I did feel like the team, because he was so, and I have my hand in a fist, he was so wound tight. I do believe like the team played tight. And they made a lot of mistakes. And they all went, I'm afraid. Now we've gone way in the other direction. And I think we need some more of a happy medium.
The 510 on the text line, 888-957-9570. The Giants need a guru pep talk. For sure, a guru pep talk might help him out.
I'm tired of getting pushed around!
Exactly. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We will hear from Bob Melvin post-game. Giants lose again. They've lost 7 of their last 10. They've scored just 2 runs in their 2 games this series in 20 innings. It's the Morning Roast. Shasky and Grandy, I'm in for Spadoni. More next year on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Scoreless streak of 17 innings. The Giants didn't score in 17 straight innings since the fourth inning on Sunday in Miami. They go scoreless the rest of that game in Miami, all 10 innings on Monday night versus the Padres, and then the first 2 innings last night.
Because when I think of elite pitching, I think of the Padres and the Marlins.
And the Padres pitchers were not like Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
It was Steven Kolek last night, or 2 nights ago on Monday.
I told you guys I would have swooped up the pitcher for the Padres in Daily Fantasy and played him immediately if I was someone out there who played Daily Fantasy. It's ridiculous. And this team just needs a spark so bad right now, and I just don't know where it's going to come from. I really don't. I mean, they got the 2-run homer yesterday from Ramos, and it was like, that was it. We're done scoring runs.
And it was darn near enough. I mean, it probably should have been enough, which is crazy. The pitching staff is that good. They're just being asked to be perfect every single night. And you can't be perfect every single night.
No, you can't. And like all the little opportunities that you might end up having always come back to bite you. I mean, like later on, you get the, I guess before, you get the Encarnacion double play, and it felt like the air was coming out of the television for me. Like it really did. You get a couple of guys on base, first and second, boom, next thing you know, it is with no outs. Next thing you know, there's two outs and there's a runner on third. It's like innings over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this team right now is just it's frustrating. And then, you know, Jung-Hoo Lee is ice cold right now. And I came in here and I said to you guys, I'm like, hey, guys, like, I noticed it yesterday because I went back and I can watch on YouTube TV and like kind of go quickly, like you double tap and it goes like 10 seconds. And because of the pitch clock, you can almost perfectly sync it up to every single pitch.
Yeah.
And now that they have that graphic box on the side, I'm like, hey, guys, they are pitching Jung-Hoo Lee middle away every at bat. And he is trying to pull everything. And basically, baseball is telling you over the last however many days, the scouting report is out on him, and currently they are going to pitch him away, away, away. A little middle, but away, away, and we're going to dare you to go the other way.
Until you prove that you can go the other way, we're going to keep throwing you there.
And it's bad. And then so I don't do a lot of the advanced metric stuff, but Sam gets me to Baseball Savant. What is this? BaseballSavant.mob.com.
Yeah, just Baseball Savant.
Yeah, great website.
And everything that I'm saying is being backed up by the data. Where were all the balls going? Either a little outside or middle away. Like everything's middle away, middle away. And an occasional miss slightly inside one time per every seven or eight pitches. And where are all his, you know, hot zones, if you will? Where does he want it? He wants it up and in. He wants it low and in. He'll hit those. Everything away is where he's ice cold. And so right now, if he does not make an adjustment, he's in some major trouble. He's got to learn to go the other way. And this is part of baseball. It's like, hey, you get hot, you get some success doing something. Now the scouting report's out. The rest of baseball says, hey, we are going to identify this flaw. We're going to expose it. Now it is up to you to adjust. So now we have the conversation of, okay, Pat Burrell, Jung-Hoo Lee, I'm sure you have the same data that I'm looking at. I'm sure you're rewatching your at-bats the way that any kid on Game Changer would when their game was played over the weekend. What's the adjustment? Where do we go from here? Do you work on, you know, going the other way? Or do you drop a bunt? You know, like, do something.
Yeah, Machado was playing, the third baseman was playing at shortstop, essentially, at one point for a Jung-Hoo Lee at-bat. And I think it was Kruk and Kipe said on the television broadcast, if he just bunts it hard down the third base side, he gets a double because there's nobody there.
On this team currently, Wilmer Flores will go the other way. Wilmer is a major league hitter. And they'll shade that second baseman, Cronenworth, right over second base. And so there's a huge gap. And look, Wilmer will hit it wherever you pitch it, but he's the only guy right now that consistently is willing and able to go the other way. It's a big problem for this team.
Yeah.
It really is.
We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. You want to hear from Bob Melvin postgame last night?
Yeah, well, I guess I do.
3-2 Giants lost. They led 2-0. They blew that lead in the ninth. Camilo Doval blown save. First time he's blown a save since he got re-put into that closer role. Giants ultimately lose 3-10 or 3-2 in 10 innings. I got three different Bob Melvin question and answers I'm going to play for you, Shasky.
All right,
we'll
do
it individually.
After each one, are you going to ask me the same question and I'll pretend what I would give as an answer?
Yeah, you'll pretend to be the manager of the Giants and you'll answer the question for me.
Absolutely.
After you hear Bob Melvin.
All right, let's go.
All right, here's question and answer number one for Bob Melvin last night.
Elliott had the two-run homer, but that was the extent of the offense. What was the Padres' bullpen in particular able to do so well to limit the offense?
We got to be able to score more than that. You know, at the time, a two-run homer after what we went through last night feels good. Roop's pitching well, but we have to add on more runs like that. We can't, you know, just say leave it up to the pitching and, you know, shut them out. So it's something that's been a problem for us for a while now. You know, it's another game where we don't score enough runs and put a lot of pressure on the pitching again.
All right, there's Bob Melvin. So Shasky, you got the two-run homer from Elliot Ramos. You scored two runs, but the Padres' bullpen really shut you down there. What did you see?
I'm seeing guys right now that are not willing to go the other way and take what the defense is giving them. I mean, you're seeing a team that is going to throw us a lot of soft away stuff over and over and over again. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks I've been talking to these guys, and we have to start making the adjustment. I mean, this is on us to make the adjustment as a staff and as a bunch of players. I got too many weak ground out rollouts right now, and these guys would admit it themselves because we're trying to pull everything. Like, we have got to use the entire field, and it's something I'm preaching every single day, and we're working on, and I know Pat's been working on it with the guys, but we've got to go out and execute better.
Is that just coach speak? I mean, what Bob Melvin said, not what you said. I mean, just, yeah, we got to score more runs. I mean, what else is he supposed to say? I mean, he might be saying everything that you just said, and he probably is behind closed doors.
Yeah, but what's the fault in admitting it out loud?
I don't know.
I never understand why we, like, can't critique anybody. You know, heaven forbid we're, you know, just a little honest. Like, Bob's been around. Hey, look, Willie knows this. Willie's really scuffling right now. And what are they doing? They're throwing him hard in, and they're jamming him, and they're throwing him soft away. This is no secret. You guys all have Statcast. You're more informed now than at any point in the history of baseball. We're not hiding anything. You're watching the games on TV, right? And so, like, now it's on him to make the adjustment and go the other way. What's wrong with saying that? We're not running him out of town. Like, if this were a quarterback in the NFL, would the coach shy away? Yeah, we can't throw an interception in the red zone. Would they?
No.
Like Jordan Mason fumbled in the red zone. I forget what game. I think it was the Arizona game.
Yeah, Chan's it was. Like,
we can't turn the ball over in the red zone. Jordan knows that. Why in baseball do we try to hide the secrets when it's pretty obvious?
I think most managers go, and I think this also goes like to basketball and Steve Kerr, like, not going to talk about strategy or game plan, but that's just what you said is so, like, freaking obvious, and it's not like he's breaking any news to opposing teams who are the reason why the Giants need to adjust in the first place, because, as you mentioned, they're pitching the Giants in a certain way, and they're not adjusting.
Mark, I guarantee you the Padre dugout could yell to Jung Hoo Lee, and forget the language barrier, just yell to him, we're throwing you middle away. We refuse to throw you in. He knows this. Like, they could yell it at him. He knows this.
We'll put it this way.
You still have to execute.
Put it this way. If he doesn't know it, then the Giants coaching staff, it's malpractice.
Yeah.
He has to know.
They have to know.
They know it.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. They have to know. And so, hey, let's keep going on this one, because the coach speak is just, again, listen to the beginning of every, yeah, well, it's just, lose your mind a little here, Bob. Come on, let's go.
Here's question and answer number two.
We're struggling to hit. We blew a two-run lead. Let's go. Wake up.
Question and answer number two. Bob Melvin asked about Camilo Doval.
Bob Camilo hadn't allowed an earned run for about 2 months.
Yeah.
Just considering how good he has been over the course of this stretch, would you just consider this more of a bump in the road than anything?
Yeah, I just had a little off night with you know, the couple walks. So, look, I mean, we feel great every time he's in a game, and he's had quite a run. You know, we shut him down for 8 innings. They score 2 in the 9th. Ball off the end of the bat. It's a hit, but a good at-bat by Manny. So it's the walks, I think, that got him the most.
So, Joe, Camilo Doval gave up his first runs in a couple of months. I mean, what did you see from him out there? Just an off night?
You know, Camilo's been excellent for us for quite some time. His mechanics got a little out of whack. I thought we should have got out of the inning on the, you know, Willy Adames play. It's a tough play up the middle. He makes a great throw. It's a little low. You know, Casey would tell you he probably, you know, want that one back. Got to dig that out. It's a tough play. I think we get out of the inning if we make that play. That being said, you know, for whatever reason, there are times when, you know, he loses his mechanics a little and he kind of short circuits. And we've been working on this with him, you know, for a long time. And he knows this. And he didn't trust the fastball. I don't think Bailey and him were on the same page. We're going slider, slider, slider. It's tough. But he's our guy. And that's why we have him in there. And I was hoping he could work through that and get us out of the inning. But let it not, you know, be lost on anyone. He wasn't the only reliever who struggled yesterday. I think, you know, Eric Miller, who's been good for us, struggled to throw strikes tonight. I think that Tyler Rogers struggled to throw strikes tonight. So we were pretty vulnerable, even though we've been close to perfect, you know, from our bullpen all year. I thought that each one of those guys had some command issues last night, and it sucks because I thought Root pitched his heart out. What's wrong with that?
That's a good answer.
Right?
I think Bob probably attacked that one from a standpoint of, and maybe this says more about Camilo than anything else, knowing what Camilo went through last year and all the confidence issues that he had. You don't want to pile on the guy who had his first bad outing in a long time. That was Camilo Doval's first runs allowed since April 7th.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
April 7th, he had gone 21 appearances without allowing a run. 21 appearances. But what you did there wasn't just single out Camilo Doval, and you mentioned that everyone out of the bullpen who pitched struggled. Even if they didn't allow a run, they struggled.
And like, I'll continue my manager talk. Hey, look, these guys know, this is the bigs. When you walk guys as a reliever, they're going to score. That's just reality of, especially early in innings. And so we had the ball continuing to rise on multiple guys, and we were missing in the zone. And that being said, I thought our situational defense also was just a tick slow. You know, we had an opportunity to throw out Machado on that play where he's going first to second. And Casey's got to just let that fly. And I'm going to talk to him about it. He's learning the first base position. And I think if he was at third or short or second, which is a little more comfortable there, I think he lets that one rip. I understand why he wouldn't want to throw the ball around with a guy at third base, maybe worried that he would take off. But I just want him to just react and play and get out of that inning. And, you know, like right now, Wilmer at shortstop, he's trying to make things happen. I thought he made a really nice play. The guy's hustling out of the box right there. He throws a low ball, hard ball. That would have been a hell of a play to get out of that inning. But if we make that play, we do get out of it. And right now, with our offense scuffling, we have zero margin of error defensively. And that's where we really have to be buttoned up in these late game situations. Now, Casey didn't perform in the ninth inning, but in the eighth inning, he made a hell of a play with Tyler Rogers coming over to cover first base. You know, that's a right-handed first baseman going towards second base, turning, throwing over to first as Tyler is running to cover first with a guy barreling down on him. He doesn't cross over and get blown up. He catches and steps. It's a hell of a tough play. And we don't do a lot of infield, outfield before these games anymore. You know, we do a lot in spring training. We're in the meat of the season right now. And for Tyler to get over in that situation, I thought that was a great play. But our margin of error offensively has made it that we can't make any mistakes in terms of pitching and defense. And it's just really tough right now.
Look, you're saying a lot of, first of all, very accurate things. I don't think a lot of people will disagree with you in anything that you said. But, I mean, you're not, like, fired up and screaming at people, which is what you were telling me you wanted from your manager.
No, but I think there's a time and a place to bring it up, you know?
Not in a media setting.
It doesn't have to be in a media setting. No, I watched the Padres score last night late in that game, and I watched Machado, and again, like, you take the lead, right? Or, excuse me, you tie the game. And he's just so fired up. I was like, God, we missed that so bad. Like, Bailey got to second base on that double, and it was like, oh, thank God I made it to second base. Oh my God, thank God I'm here. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy to be here. Like, what are we, in T-ball? You just dying to get to second base?
We got one more Q&A for Bob Melvin from last night. This was on the decision for Matt Williams to send Flores from first to home on that two-out double in the third inning. Here's Beaumont.
Sending Flores on that Chapman hit, is that just sort of a sign of, you know, needing to get things going?
Yeah, and I thought it was a good send. We need to try a score run there the way we've been swinging the bat with runners in scoring position. Looked like he was safe on the replay. But it was a close play. I don't blame him for sending him.
I actually love this answer from Bob Melvin because, no, he's doing two things here. Number one, he's backing up Matt Williams, and he's telling you what the strategy is. Like, hey, we're scuffling right now offensively. Like, we're trying to be aggressive. So that, to me, tells me there's a plan before the game even, like, starts. Like, hey, guys,
we're taking a little extra chance here or there.
Absolutely. And yeah, I'm sure they're discussing, because you do this as a coach and staff, whatever. You're coming in between innings, and you're like, hey, was that? I'm sure Matt Williams is like, should I have not sent him? And then, no. I want you to send him. Like, we needed to send him. But the part that doesn't get asked by the media is, like, does Willie Adames factor in to the decision-making of how aggressive you are in that situation?
Well, I mean, he's not answering that question.
I think it's a tough question.
Let me ask you that. Hey, Joe, pretend, again, that you're the manager of the Giants. Hey, do you think it was at all in the back of Matt Williams' minds that a scuffling Willie Adames was on deck in that situation? Is that partly why he sent Wilmer?
You know, Willie is scuffling. I'm not going to skirt that. But the team is scuffling right now in situational at-bats. So we went into this game saying, if we have an opportunity to be aggressive and try to send someone, we're going to do it no matter who's at the plate. Wilmer's one of our hottest players right now. Had he been the guy on the on-deck circle coming in and somebody else prior to him was knocking someone in, I still think we would have been aggressive in that play, because that's kind of like the thought process right now, because we're just dying to put up a crooked number in an inning. And we were hoping we can get that third run, because right now runs are at a premium. And if you look at it, we've had a really difficult time getting consecutive hits from any combination in the lineup, whether that's Willie or not.
It's a good answer. Yeah. I mean, I think you're doing a good job of not like piling on anybody individually, but you aren't necessarily avoiding calling people out who are not upholding their role on the team right now.
I just the way I view it, we do this thing in sports when it comes to these interviews and these conversations.
We're trying to protect your guys a little too much.
It's just ridiculous. Like, these guys are all grown men. You know what I mean? And they know where they stand. That doesn't mean like calling them out and throwing them under the bus, but there's a level of authenticity that you just, I think you need to have.
You can be honest without ripping somebody.
Exactly. And again, why was it? Hey, he knows it. We've discussed it. We're working on it. You know, this is no secret. And then also, like, I just come from the old school, and in the old school, I worked for a lot of Italians. You know, I grew up in the meat industry, if you will. I worked for John Viglizzo and the Guerra brothers, and they would like tell you where you stand. And there's something to be said for knowing where you stand with whoever the decision maker is. I appreciate it. It may not be what I needed to hear in that moment, but at least I knew exactly where I stood with them. There's nothing worse than the ambiguity of, you know, you're doing great. You're doing, oh, yeah, everything's good. When in reality, you know that person hates your guts. Right?
Yeah.
I think that we're in a coddling society, just in general. And I think that we're so worried about how people feel. And you're underperforming, you're underperforming. It is what it is. And you know what? If you underperform and I'm your manager, it falls on me. And my particular track record is the one that is going to be, you know, judged accordingly based off how you're performing. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't pick and choose my spots of how to critique you, how to raise you up. You know, some I got to put my arm around, some I got to kick
different.
In the pants. No doubt. And there's a timing for all this. But I think that we're just too soft in general. Just in general. And I would love to see the manager kind of lose his mind. I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm telling you, man, like a flipping of the spread to just wake the boys up. Let's go. Dare I say two guys just get at it. So many nice guys. Two guys just go at it in the dugout.
The guys put this on my board. Hal McCray, his famous tirade. Do you want to hear it?
Let me hear it. This is the old school.
Sick and tired. I'm fed up with everything. No from you guys, no from you players. And they can do any mother thing they want to do. I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit. Tired of these national critics and you suckers take advantage of the situation. That's what I get for trying to be a nice guy. You try to make a out of me every goddamn night.
Wow, Hal McCray.
I can't get over the way that those expletives are bleeped. It sounds
the
like
foghorn?
It sounds like a duck.
I asked my son ALJ, what sound does a duck make? Quack. He does this quack thing, and that's what it sounded like.
It's like a goose honking.
That was so good. You guys had never seen that, huh?
I don't think I had.
The Hal McCray Royals. He flipped the table. He went absolutely bonkers. Look, there's a time and a place that when you're standing.
And that is in a media setting. That is in front of the media postgame. That's not like in a clubhouse after the game. That is in front of the media.
And I believe that was authentic.
Oh, of course.
You know, I believe that was authentic. I just think in general, we've got too many robots running teams. No?
We were sitting in with the boss yesterday, and we were kind of thinking about these famous manager tirades, and one that our boss, or Cubs fan growing up, thought of was Lou Piniella with the Cubs at Wrigley when the Cubs were going through it, and he goes out. I don't even know what play that he was arguing, but he goes out and
play at third base,
and he screams at the third base umpire, stays out there for a couple of minutes, eventually throws his hat on the ground, kicks his hat, to the umpire is like trying to kick dirt onto the feet of the umpires. And then he walks off the field eventually and he's getting a standing ovation from the Wrigley crowd, and the Cubs turned it around after the fact.
Yesterday, I saw there was, what, 30, 35,000 people in the stands. They're dying for something to happen on the field. Now, again, I'm not saying you got to get tossed and it's, you know, it's premeditated, and it's because Gabe did that a couple times where it felt fake, where he went out there and he argued, you know, on some stupid call that shouldn't have been argued, and he got thrown out of a game, and it just felt very inauthentic. But I think that Bob's nature is just too, in general, not that he's passive. I don't think that's the right word. He's just, he's too nice of a guy. I don't know if it's in him. Now, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's just, this team right now just needs to jolt so bad, and they need it from somebody. Like, look, I'm not a big believer in slamming helmets, throwing bats. You know, someone could get hurt. Willie Adames, I could use him just snapping a bat over his knee and slamming a helmet on the field so where no one can get hurt in the dugout. Like, I'd like to see a little something.
I just need someone to show emotion.
Exactly.
Someone to show me that you're pissed off the way this thing is going. I know how you feel. I know how I feel. I know how Sam and Carter behind the glass feel. Watching Giants games right now is not a fun experience. In fact, I was talking to one of my roommates last night.
What were they saying?
I was sitting on the couch watching the game. He walks in, gets back from work. No, actually, Matt got back from the grocery store. Doesn't matter. He gets back, and it's like the second inning. It's still 0-0. And he says, I was planning on going to the game tonight, but then I saw what happened last night, and I just couldn't bring myself to go.
No way.
Yeah. And one of the first things I learned about him when I met him and he became my roommate was, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I love the Giants. This is my first time living in the city. I can't wait to go to a bunch of games. And he's already at a point where he's like, based on what happened last night, not scoring a run in 10 innings, I decided against going to the game today.
That's unbelievable. I mean,
I just need someone to show that they're pissed.
Well,
show me something.
Look, Bochy's going to be the gold standard in this market. Obviously, Tony La Russa for a long time, Billy Martin for a long time. Billy Martin was all time. I mean, he was so crazy. He's in his own category, right? So anybody would pale in comparison to the insanity dust ball of Billy Martin. I think the stature and his legacy with the Yankees and getting fired 8,000 times from so many different jobs. You know, I think of Sparky Anderson, Bobby Cox, but the way Bruce Bochy handled it with the Giants, he was a very calm individual. But there was a time and a place where he would come out, and I think because of his intimidating factor, he would grab his hat and his giant, you know, melon, and he'd squeeze it, and he'd throw it on the ground, and he'd get right in the umpire's face, and it always felt genuine. And it did feel like he knew exactly when to do it, and it was just what the doctor ordered for that particular group of guys. But they also had some crazies, too.
They had Pence.
Who was a crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Wilson was a crazy. I'm talking about B-Weezy, the guy in the bullpen. You know, Pablo played with a lot of competitive fire. He liked to have fun, but he was a competitor. Buster was a red ass. I know we think of him as very monotone. I think he was a very...
serious as hell.
Yes.
Like, just come on, let's not mess around. Get down to business. Come on.
Exactly.
Focus.
Crawford, very much like Chapman. Kind of like, good dude, go with the flow. Brandon Belt was very,
clown.
Monotone. Yeah, exactly. But I do think that they had some characters that kept everyone else in line. I do. And I think
those guys made it easier on Boach.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt.
But when your leader, Buster Posey, is a, let's call it a red ass, behind the scenes, and he's a Hall of Fame caliber player, it carries a lot of weight. Adames could be a lot of what, you know, Posey is behind the scenes in terms of holding people accountable, but when you're not playing like it.
Well, and when you're in your first year with the team and you're not playing well, it's kind of difficult to feel like you have that cachet or that, I don't know, like you feels like it's, if I was in Adames' shoes, I would feel a little uncomfortable because I felt like I hadn't earned the right to be like the leader of the team yet, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So he's just got to start hitting, and a lot of the things are going to start falling into place.
No doubt.
But
I 100% agree
at this
with
moment, there's no one that maybe feels comfortable doing it, which ultimately then means it falls on Bob Melvin, but none of Bob's players are doing him any favors by doing what they're doing either.
What does a Bob Melvin tirade even look like?
I mean, we saw him get thrown out in Detroit. But
it was,
that was
so mellow.
That was just go up. I mean, he was in his face. I forget the name of the home plate umpire, but... But replay review has also kind of changed this. In terms of arguing with umps.
No doubt.
You could still go off on your team, but...
I mean, I don't know, man. This team is just so blasé right now. They're just so meh. You know, they're just... It's bad. He's never going to do it to a Yaz. I don't think he's going to do it to Chapman. But you know what? Like, blasting on a guy like Ramos, who's so young in his career... You know, I don't know what that does to Ramos. I don't know if he has the temperament to be able to take it.
Like, for example, you can't do it to Doval. You just can't do it to Doval.
I would agree. Could you do it to Adames right now, even though he's so early on in his tenure? Could you do it with him?
I think so. You'd like to think he'd be able to take that and bounce back.
I think he could. And yeah. I also think Adames would come out and say, like, yeah, I kind of deserve that. Because he seems like a guy that sees the big picture.
We don't know Adames super well, but like I feel pretty darn confident. If you got a truthful answer out of him, yeah, he feels pretty embarrassed based on how he's playing right now.
This team needs a jolt so bad. Just so bad. They need something. I don't know what it looks like. A trade, the two guys getting a fight. Like, they need something bad. They need something to set them up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Or I say a beanball war with a team, because that's done it at times. It feels like it kind of woke up the Padres early in this series.
Unites a team a little bit.
It does unite a team a little. Mark, I'm throwing my hands up. This team's frustrating the hell out of me right now. And losing that game the way that they did, and it felt like the oxygen sucked out of the entire team in that ninth inning.
888-957-9570, the 619 on the text line says, when Melvin was with the Padres, it never felt like he would bring any fire or culture, and it changed when Mike Schilt replaced them. I don't know if the 619 is a Padres fan or he's just an outsider that is viewing how things changed. I mean, there's no doubt that Bob did not fit with those players in San Diego. And for whatever reason, whether it was Bob is a lower key, older school guy, and I mean, not that Mike Schilt is a young dude by any means either, but Tatis and Machado and Bogarts and all those guys, they seem to fit a little bit more with Mike Schilt than with Bob Melvin. I don't know if it's because of a lack of emotion or fire, but...
Well, there's a lot that goes into those, you know, chemistry and relationships and, you know, how honest you are with people. There's so much more to managing a team day in, day out than we even want to consider. You know, people have families. They're like, I'm watching the Red Sox doc from, there's like 8 episodes. And Cora is going up to guys and say, hey, man, you've been down in the dumps. What's going on? Oh, my grandmother back in my home country is, and I'm paraphrasing the conversation here, is dying. I'm never going to see my grandmother again. And he like puts his arm around him and gives him a big hug. And then later on that week, he goes to Titus O'Neil and he says to him, he goes, hey, look, I'm going to pinch hit for you right now. And I'm going to let this guy have an opportunity. He's about to lose his grandmother. And the guy gets a big hit and he's like almost ready to cry.
That's
and everything.
Cool.
And they're like, how would any of us know any of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In normal, it is cool. It's a freaking great
moment. That's really cool.
And it makes you look at Alex Cora a certain way, right? And it makes you also understand these are human beings. And O'Neill, by the way, is also like, I don't really know what you've been shitting for me. But then when Cora puts his arm around him and explains him the situation, he's like, dude, I totally get it. I totally get it.
And that's an awesome moment that also helps the team. Like,
hell
bond.
Yeah. And they bonded. Now, the Red Sox went nowhere last year.
Yeah.
But you know what that tells me? It's like, this is why they stuck up for Cora after he got suspended and wanted to bring him back. They believe in the person, Cora. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with a Bob Melvin when it comes to things like that, where, you know, his impact goes beyond just flipping the spread.
You guys have Dave Fleming on every week. Dave Fleming, last year on with you guys, was asked about Bob Melvin and maybe him being a little bit edgier than normal.
Okay.
You go back a year ago, here's Dave talking about that.
I don't think he's the reason that whatever's happening now is happening. I don't. I think Bob has the right mix of calm and, hey, this is a long season, and I've been through this for 40 years in this game, and I know the ebbs and the flows. He knows, he realizes that, but he also, I would think that my first impression of Bob has been that he's edgier than I thought he was. He's a super competitive guy and takes it more personally than I thought he did. Like, Bob is... He's an edgy competitor, and I don't think I ever totally knew that about him. And I say that as a compliment. I think that's a really good thing.
Well, then blow a gasket. Like, let's see it. Let's do it. Flip the spread. Do something. Let's go. Let's go. You've had 2 consecutive starters go 6-plus innings, gave up 0 runs, and you lost both games.
Extras. Can I read this to you? You just mentioned it. The Giants have had consecutive starting pitchers go at least 6 innings without allowing a run.
Yeah,
right?
That's crazy.
Webb ate Shuddy 2 nights ago, and then last night it was Roop with 6 1/3 Shuddy. They lose both games. The last time the Giants did that, starting pitchers in consecutive games go 6 or more shutout innings, and they lose August 6th and 7th, 2018. And they lost both those games. Can any chance you could name the pitchers, the starting pitchers in those games?
2018.
One of them is obvious, one of them is not.
Mad Bum, Chris Heston.
It is Mad Bum, the other is not Chris Heston. It is. Do you want
Chris
one
Stratton.
More guess? No. No Chris.
Jeff Smarja. Smarja.
Nope.
No, it's not Cueto. He was out for the year.
He's got a Hall of Fame father.
Oh, D-Rod.
Oh, yeah, Derek Rodriguez.
Derek Rodriguez.
No, that's
I actually like Derek Rodriguez.
He was really good in 2018.
Yeah, I actually like him.
But that was the last time the Giants have had consecutive starting pitchers go 6 or more shutout innings and lose both games in consecutive games. And that happened in 2018. In 2018, that was a terrible Giants team. They won just 73 games.
Okay. 7-6-0. As a Padre fan, we got tired of Melvin pretty quick. Enjoy Sleepy Bob and his experience, or the Sleepy Bob experience, excuse me, for another season. He has passed his prime. Sleepy Bob. I mean, that's when you know you're cooked. The minute we started calling him Sleepy Joe, we knew it was pretty short-lived.
Bob should run for president.
Bob should run for president.
Did you have issues with, I mean, we're talking about like overall larger scale things with Bob Melvin. Do you have any issues with the decisions he made last night specifically? I mean, he took Roop out after 6 1/3 shutout. He just had a great strikeout on one of his best curveballs of the night.
Well, I don't understand what, like, Okay. You take him out in the middle of the inning after a strikeout? Yeah, I didn't make much sense.
Nobody on base, one out.
I don't know. Why start the inning? I know you wanted to go to they went to the lefty, Eric Miller, correct?
It was probably matchup related, would be my guess.
Oh, okay.
Like, what does that sound like?
I mean, just in general, did that feel like a stressful 92 pitches?
No.
So I don't know what his limit is. I don't
Six
know what
base
his
runners.
I don't know what his body's like. Like, he might have said to him in the dugout, like, "Hey, I got one more batter."
He struck out Xander Bogaerts, and then Jake Cronenworth came up. So a lefty Cronenworth, and they probably wanted the lefty Eric Miller. But
all right,
I don't know. Your guy's thrown 6 1/3 shutty and just struck out Xander Bogaerts on an epic curveball.
And you know you don't have Randy Rodriguez because he said in the pregame that, like, "Hey, you know, Randy doesn't really work 2 days in a row. He worked yesterday." You know, we didn't have Camilo the day before, but we have him today. So, like, these are the little things that go into these decisions. I didn't love it, but I also understand that, like, that's what we do in baseball now.
Yeah. You mentioned not having Randy available, or at least ideally not having Randy available. Did you like the decision to go to Spencer Bivens in the 10th inning? You could have gone to Ryan Walker.
Ryan Walker, I don't trust either.
Hasn't been great.
I do trust Ryan Walker more than Bivens. Walker pitched yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought it was fine. I don't know. I mean, that
we're being nitpicky here.
No,
but
I know. I agree. I have more of a, like, hey, you subbed Yastrzemski in for a pinch runner, which I get why, but then you knew another at-bat was going to come up later on in that game, and you did it for defensive purposes, which, I get. These defensive subs, I like them in, like, the 8th and 9th inning. When did he put him in? 6th inning?
I don't know when Yaz came in. Yaz actually came in as a pinch runner in the 6th.
That's what I said, a pinch runner originally. Yeah, in the 6th inning.
And then he had one at-bat to lead off the 9th, had 2-0, and then popped out.
I don't love bunting in that situation right now. I love bunting overall. But this team right now, I almost feel like I would rather have two cracks at a base hit.
You're talking about bottom of the 10th, down a run.
Haas is the ghost runner, correct?
Yeah, he came in.
Okay, so he's your ghost runner. A base hit scoring him in most scenarios, right?
Schmidt's at the plate.
Who I don't have a lot of faith in.
Hitting now sub 200.
He got the bunt down. You would hope that Ramos would be able to get you a sack fly. Ramos is a high strikeout guy. You know, he is. He's a high strikeout guy. And so,
I mean, okay, what's more likely? The combination of Schmidt, Ramos, and Jung-Hoo Lee get a hit. One of those three get a hit. Or Schmidt gets a bunt down and Ramos gets a ball to medium deep anywhere in the outfield. What's more
They're
likely?
They're pretty 50-50 right now.
You think so?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think you got to just have faith that Ramos is going to get the job
done.
Yeah,
he is one of your best hitters. Again, the only reason I caution that is that it's your closer, meaning the Padres closer, who's a strikeout guy, and you're a high strikeout player.
I hear you. And I also think, in general, the way, and we talked about the ghost runner a little bit yesterday, it's the Giants. You have to work very hard for any run. I kind of hate the bunt because you're just conceding playing for one run.
Exactly.
And trying to go to another inning.
That I agree with.
I like just kind of playing for the win.
Well, and you did it the night before, so I might have tried something different
did
tonight.
Did not work the night before.
Exactly. I would have tried something different tonight just to shake it up a little. Look, to me, there's no right or wrong when you lose the game. All these things now are second-guessed, and I can go in either direction. I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. Like, I see both sides.
That out Steiny, huh?
I know. I feel like Humpty Dumpty. Speaking of Steiny,
hi.
One of my buddies said that he was complaining about arthritis, and I sent Steiny a bottle of this arthritis stuff that my buddy is, he says, it's a miracle pill for the tennis elbow.
A miracle pill?
He
okay.
gets it. His family gets it at one of the little stores. It's called Artie King. And he claims it's a miracle pill.
All right.
So, Steiny, you got to get this miracle
pill. Well, Steiny will report back and see if it works for him. All right. Time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
The Giants announced that Jordan Hicks, another arm in that bullpen, will be placed on the IL with a right toe inflammation. The move was retroactive to Monday. Manager Bob Melvin said Hicks began to experience some inflammation during his outing on Sunday in Miami. I guess that would make sense, Shasky, because he could not throw a strike on Sunday in Miami. After an MRI confirmed the inflammation, it made the decision to shut Hicks down for a couple of weeks. That much easier to make. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Daskey, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Would you rather be in the Padres situation or the Giants situation? You want to get into that, Shasky?
I do.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll do that on the other side. That's what's coming up on the game. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. It's the Morning Roast here on a Wednesday. Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Randy, in for Spadoni. Happy birthday, Spadone. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.